I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this special Thanksgiving message from my dad, Pastor Salem. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on God's faithfulness. We give thanks to God for your prayers, love, and financial support. We received a postcard not long ago from Japan. It reads, "I just moved to Okinawa, Japan, where there are no English-speaking churches where I am located. I went to a community center to hear an English worship service. There were 25 people gathered around a shortwave radio, and the Christian Worship Hour was playing. After we listened to the broadcast, we had fellowship with coffee and snacks. I had never heard your broadcast before, and now we'll be returning each Sunday to listen. We are thankful for your broadcast to our small Japanese community. It is our hope, Dad's message, a psalm for Thanksgiving, will bring you closer to our Savior this week. May the Lord bless you this season as you gather with others. We pray His presence will fill your hearts with love. Have a blessed Thanksgiving."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so happy we could be with you today, because really this week is a special week, because Thursday we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And it just doesn't seem possible that we're there already, but here we are. Wonderful, wonderful time of the year. And so our sermon's going to be entitled, A Psalm for Thanksgiving. And maybe you could call your friends and tell them to tune us in. We're looking at Psalm 63 as our invocation today. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I praise thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we've come today to worship you and you alone. And we're so thankful, especially through this Thanksgiving week, that you've been so good to us and given us so much, not just in the material things, but more importantly, the spiritual things that will last forever. You're such a wonderful God, and you're just always true and helpful, and we can always lean on you no matter what happens. So in this service, we want to serve you and honor you in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing a song, and you'll love it. Great is thy faithfulness, and God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. I pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and what a wonderful message. And we always like to talk about the faithfulness of God. And you know, we live in a world that is fast changing. Everything is on the move. Everything is changing. Seems like the very foundations are shaken. But God is the same, and he is forever. And in our sermon today, we're going to see how his faithfulness is to all generations. It will never cease. It will always be there. And heaven and earth can pass away, but his wonderful, wonderful word abides forever. How thankful we are for a wonderful God, somebody we can really lean on and know that it'll never change. God bless our wonderful Savior. We always like to share some of our letters, and we get a lot of letters. We get about 100 letters a day, something like that. And we read every one of them, and we always answer those. If you have a spiritual problem, we always will answer those, and especially those that accept the Lord. We have people write in so often. And I think in my letters today, I've got a couple somewhere going about people accepted the Lord. We always send a Billy Graham packet, like Billy Graham gives at the Crusades. We send that out to these people. Excuse me. And so whatever we get, we always will try to help you if it's along spiritual lines. And so I'm going to read some of these letters. Then maybe you can get a pencil and paper ready. And then I'll give you the address, and maybe you'll like to write to us. We have first letters from Hugo, Minnesota. And these people write and say, "Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I watch a program every Sunday morning. I recently told my brother-in-law, who's in a senior living facility in Duluth area, of the Christian Worship Hour. He has watched you and plans to continue to do so. He also told his adult children about the program in hopes that they'll tune in as well. He said that there are others at his facility that regularly watch your service. Praise the Lord." And then this is what this person says. "It's not our job to save people. It is our job to tell them about Jesus. Jesus already has handled the saving on the cross. Keep on preaching the uncompromised word of God. Blessings to you and your staff." And that's exactly what it is. If we can't save anybody, only Jesus Christ and his saving blood is shed on the cross can save us from our sins. But we can bring people to Jesus, and we can get people to listen to the preaching of the word, and we can witness to these people. And so this is what he says here. It is our job to tell them about Jesus, not our job to save them. And whether they respond or not, that's not our problem. We are to just to tell them, and then the ball is in their court, and they can say, "Yes, I want Jesus," or they can say, "No, I'll wait to another day." And when you say you'll wait to another day, you know what that means? You're putting it off. You're saying no. Because Jesus said, then they'll say, "Oh, I'm going to be neutral. I'm not for or again. I don't want to offend anybody." Well, Jesus says, "You know, if you're not for me, you're against me. That's all. You are or you aren't." And so that's what the Christian Worship Hour is all about. We want you to come to know Jesus. We want you to get on Jesus' side. Take him as your Savior and join us in his great service. And it's the only way to live, a wonderful way to live. Here is Algona, Iowa. And I put this in, I'll tell you why. We listen from our remote island on the Lake of the Woods. Thank you, our prayers are with you, serve Jesus. And I thought, the Lake of the Woods, wouldn't that be someplace? Boy, you could have a fishing rod and you could just live off of the fish if you like fish. And I'm not that wild about them. I'd maybe shoot a moose or something. But I just thought, Lake of the Woods, that just sounds so nice. Here's Rapid City, South Dakota. You changed my life and my family's lives. In 1998, when I was 31 years old, I was baptized with my father and older brother. Your sermons were the words my father needed to understand how to have a relationship with Jesus. Until he heard your sermons, he didn't truly believe. Thank you for your teachings each week. We will continue to listen and learn from you. Well, I'll tell you why you can learn from me is because I'm preaching the Bible. You don't learn anything from me. I'm just as dumb as the rest, anybody else. But it's the Word of God. And when we bring the Word of God, it changes lives. And here she says, he has a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's what you have to do. You have to do more than just know about him. Everybody knows about Jesus. The devil knows about Jesus. Devil knows no more about Jesus than we do. But you have to receive him into your life. And you'll never have eternal life until you personally ask Jesus Christ to come in and take away your sins. Just as I did when I was a 10-year-old boy. I just prayed, dear Jesus, just please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I thank you for saving me. And then I serve him the best I can. That's what you do. And a child can do it. And we hear from people accept the Lord when they're children all the time. Here's a letter from Canton, Illinois, and it says, I am having a bad time in my life, but I ask Jesus in my heart, and I watch you every Sunday morning. So here's a person in distress calling on the name of the Lord, and if you call in the name of the Lord, he'll come into your life. The minute you ask him in, he'll come in. Now, I hope that takes away a lot of the troubles and trials, but God may not. You may have to be in the storm like the disciples were. They were in that little boat and they faced the storm and they were there because Jesus told them to be there. So he may take you out of your troubles and trials, and again, he might not. But if he doesn't take you out, he'll give you strength you never had before. And you can live a victorious life no matter where you are. Well, let's see. Great Falls, Montana. I'm living a godly life and I want you to know I have a closer walk with God since joining all of you people. Thank you. And so this Jesus, when you preach his word, it draws us together. Here's people in Montana and here's people in Minnesota and we have somebody from Africa. We're all drawn together to the same Lord Jesus Christ. And now while we're worshiping today, you know what? We're all gathered together at the feet of Jesus all over the world. That's the body of Christ. And when we gather in his name, we're all together worshiping together. And won't that be something when we get to heaven and we see each other? But now we go by faith. But someday we won't need that faith because we'll have sight. We'll see it. And won't that be something? Let's see, here's Thompson Falls, Montana. Listen to this one. You can sleep on all of the rest, but listen to this one. Thank you again for your phone call on April 19th, 2015, when through you I accepted the Lord into my heart and became a born-again Christian. That has been one of the greatest days of my life. I am very active in my church and never miss your program on Sunday before I go to church. Thank you again for all your help and literature over the last 14 months. And God bless you and all your wonderful staff for everything you do for us. Bless you all. You know what? This is a man, and he called from Thompson Falls, Montana. He wrote, and he said he thought that he sinned and God would never save him. And I talked to him, and several times I sent him literature, and it came to the day, April 19th, 2015, and over that phone, he prayed to accept Jesus, and I helped him. I says, Now you need to pray this, brother. And then he prayed it and over the phone. And if you have a problem accepting Jesus, you just call us and we'll be more than happy to talk to you and help you open your heart, help you to be born again, casting Jesus into your heart. This is so wonderful. It's just thrilling. And I'm going to tell you, every time you pray for this service and this ministry, and every time you give one nickel, you have an investment in these people. And because we couldn't do it without you, and you couldn't do it without us, but together we can do it. And God takes us and takes our efforts, and he uses the word of God, and he touches hearts and accomplishes his purpose all over the world. Let me see, San Mateo, California. You reach my heart every Sunday. You really have made a difference in my life. I have become a softer person in attitude. Thank you for bringing Jesus closer to me in my heart. Now, you know why this person is, his attitude is changing? Well, it's because in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man accepts Jesus, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. And you have the Spirit of Christ within you. We have the old nature and we have the new nature. And that's why he's a softer person, a kinder person, and got a better attitude. It's because he's been born again, see? Oh, it is so glorious. I've seen that so often, the change in the life that comes when they come to Jesus. Oh, look at here, Facebook. Now, I don't know how they do this, but Facebook. And I don't even know how to do Facebook. The girls in the office, they do it for me. And here, listen to this. Good evening, sir, with love from Nigeria, Africa. Facebook from Africa. How do they do that? Well, see, I'm the old school. We didn't even have cell phones. We didn't have television. We didn't have radio, really. And once in a while, when there was a prize fight, Joe Lewis, prize fight, they get the battery in from the car and listen to that radio, and you couldn't hardly hear it. One man would listen, and he says, what Joe Lewis is doing. Didn't take long. Joe Lewis had him knocked out. And I remember reading about Joe Lewis. And they asked Joe Lewis, what was the hardest hit he ever got? And he says, the hardest hit I ever got was from Uncle Sam and the tax people. they really put him down. Well, God bless them. They have to do their work too. Well, here's one more letter that I want to share with you. Brookings, South Dakota. I continue to watch your sermons on Sunday morning in the activity room. I've encouraged a few women to watch with me on Sunday. Well, I'm now helping you to win them to Jesus Christ. And I underline that. I am now helping you to win them to Christ. You bet she is. She's rounding up these ladies, getting these ladies to come and listen. And what am I doing? I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm telling you what God says. And when the minute I say it, the Holy Spirit picks it up and he applies it to hearts all over the world. And everybody's different, and everybody's different personalities and different stages in life. Some are lost, and some are found, and some have drifted away. And the Holy Spirit just custom makes every message, every word of God, just for that individual. That's how great God is. Oh, that's why I love to preach, because there's hope. There's hope. I don't care who you are, how much you've sinned. I don't care how wicked you have been. I don't care how many times you've turned Jesus away. If you come to Jesus today and he says that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I says, at the door of your heart. And he won't come into your heart. If he comes into your head, it doesn't make a bit of difference. We got to lie. Everybody has Jesus in the head. Everybody knows about Jesus. You have to have him in your heart about 18 inches down a little bit there. And then you have Jesus. He says, I stand at the door and knock. You open that door. I will come in. I want to come in. I died so I could come in. But you have to open the door. Now I'm going to just pray that you'll help us in this work. Because if you want to feel like you want to help us and get us so we can carry on this work. We just recently now we started in North Korea, shortwave radio, a powerful station into shortwave radio in North Korea. The toughest place on the earth to live the Christian life is what the people tell, Billy Graham Association tells us. And we're there with the one hope to help and encourage and bless them. And so if you want to help us, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you want to, here's a miracle. You can send an offering from Africa, or we get them from Norway and the Philippines and all over. You get on that website on the internet and you get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then there's a place on there where it'll say donate. That means you're going to give something. And you hit that donate, however you do it. And then you can give money in your exchange, and we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay our bills wherever you are. It's under PayPal. You pay, we'll be your pal. You don't pay, we'll be your pal anyway. So how can you beat that? See, we're really good people over here. And then I want to tell you about the new song. And that's a little book, a little paper, a little Bible study we put out every week, every month. And this month we're talking about how to be thankful, thankful people. And we also have the sermon topics, and you have the text, and we have a whole page of excerpts from letters that we get from all over the world, and you will just love it. And we really ought to charge for it, but since we're such nice people, we don't charge for it. And so you just prayed, dear God, should I help these people? Is this something I ought to be helping them with? And then you do what God says. And then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And then we're giving this again, especially for the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. Now I'm going to pray. Then Jan's going to play. And then you pay as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us and providing for our needs through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jan, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. We're reading from Psalm 100 today because this is Thanksgiving week, and this Thursday we'll have our Thanksgiving celebration. And so you all know Psalm 100. It's a psalm of thanksgiving, and it goes like this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. In our prayer today, we're going to remember the persecuted church in North Korea. Every week, we pray for our brothers and sisters, the persecuted church somewhere in the world. And this morning, today, is going to be North Korea. So, Heavenly Father, we just start right out by praying for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. And Lord, we know that some of them have given their lives, paid with their life. And some of them have been driven from their churches and from their homes. And some of them, Lord, have the family all scattered. And some are dead. And some they don't know where they are. And our hearts ache for them, dear Lord, because they're just as human as we are. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help them to know that we pray for them, that we love them, and help them to know that they're a great encouragement to us. When they stand for you to the point of death, they encourage the whole Church of Jesus Christ all over the world, And we all take heart when we see their strength and their dedication and their willingness to even die for you if needs be. So bless them and encourage their heart. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll help us always to be thankful people, to take time to thank you and to show it in our loving, in our serving, in our giving, Lord, to your causes. And help us to be grateful people because in our hearts we really are. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing, "You're Still God." And God bless you, Barb.
It would happen to anyone but me. I never dreamed that I would carry this heavy burden on my knees. I never thought that I'd be standing just where I stand today. I never known this kind of heartbreak. I never felt this kind of pain, but you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. Find the answer or the reason for this trial. But Lord, I know your ways are perfect, and you've been watching all the while. For to me, you've proven faithful time and time again. And I'm learning, Lord, to trust you even when I don't understand. But you're still God, and my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God, and my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know
Well, thank you, Barb, and that is so true that this God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can rely upon him and lean upon him. And what a wonderful time to celebrate that Thanksgiving week. Really, we ought to have Thanksgiving all year around, and I know that many of you do. You're always thankful to God, and every day, every breath we take is a gift from God. He is so good. And so this 100th psalm, we've used it so many times, and every time we go back to it, there's something new, something fresh, something beautiful, because it's the living word of the living God. It isn't ancient literature. It's today. It's today's message. As a matter of fact, like one man said, if I want to read about what happened yesterday, I read the newspaper. If I want to read about what's going to happen tomorrow, I read the Bible. And that's exactly, it's relevant, it's up to date, and it speaks to us right where we are. This psalm, the 100th psalm, is ascribed to the to David. The Jewish tradition has it that David wrote this psalm. Perhaps they're right. It kind of sounds like David with his rejoicing and how he cared for the sheep. And he was a sweet singer of Israel, you know. So maybe he did write the 100th psalm. No matter who wrote it, it came from God. And that's what we want, and that's what we rejoice in. It starts out by saying all the lands of the earth, and it closes with all generations. And Psalm 100 does two things. We want to look at it two ways. We want to look at it why we should be thankful, and then ways we can be thankful. So why be thankful? Well, because the Lord is God. In the third verse, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. We talk about Lord, we're talking about Jehovah. Jehovah, who is eternal, who is self-existent, who is eternal, the great I am, I am, I am who I am. He is the Lord of the Old Testament, and he's the Lord of the New Testament. He is the one great God. He's the God of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the creator of all things. He's the God of Abraham, and Abraham didn't know where he was going, but God said, I want you to go to another land and take your children. There'll be marauding tribes and a lot of hard things. I want you to go to another land, and Abraham believed God. That's the kind of a God, and God took care of him. He's the God of Moses, and Moses didn't have the foggiest idea on how to feed and clothe millions of Hebrew people out in the wilderness. But he took them out into the wilderness, and that great God gave them the cloud by day so they wouldn't be scorched to death. And he gave them lights at night so they would have to have animals or anything else they could see as plain as day. That's the kind of a God. And Moses believed God, and he didn't know how he could ever do the job taking him through that wilderness journey, but God took care of him. He's the God of Job. And Job, he says that he was, you know the story of Job, sick to the point where he's nothing but a skeleton and he thinks he's going to die. And his wife says, why don't you curse God and die, Job? You're going to anyway curse God and die. And well, you know this well as I do, Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's the God we're talking about. And we need to know that he is God. He is the Lord God is sufficient. This Lord God is sovereign. He is in control. He knows all that's taking place. He has a purpose and a reason for everything that happens in life. He is the Lord God, and he's the King of all. And so we bow to him, the Lord, he is God. And then it goes on to say, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. So look at that. We know where we came from. And that's a lot more than a lot of these PhDs know. They don't know where they came from. They think they came from some ape or some monkey. I don't know how they get it. They have a theory. And it's a theory that they don't have a single fact. It's a theory, but they pass it off as facts, and they're not honest, and they're teaching a lie. There we know where we came from. We came from God. Here I am. I'm standing in front of you. I have at least 5,000 mechanisms in my body that's all working at the same time, and the evolutionist says that it just happened that way. Are you crazy? Do you have something wrong someplace? You sure do. The evolutionist says it just happened. It's a miracle. It just happened, just turned out. Isn't that wonderful? Just out of nothing. It's like one man says, it's like taking a car and you take all the parts and pieces and you put it in a big tank and you shake it up and you dump it out and out comes a new car. Well, you know, even idiots don't believe that. And then it goes on and it says, it's a biological miracle. Just think of it. We're God's masterpiece. We're above the angels. And he made us from his hand, and we're his masterpiece. And every one of us have our own finger, have our fingerprints. And we have DNA, which is so miraculous that at a child at conception has DNA. And how can those things be unless there be a God? So we should say with the psalmist, we should look into the mirror and take a good look. And after the initial shock, we should say, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works. And so then We know where we came from. The rest of the world maybe doesn't, but we know we are the works of His people. We came from His hand. And then it goes on and says, and because of that, we are His people. We are His people through redemption. We become His people the moment we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we receive Him. But I'm going to tell you, after we come to the age of accountability, I believe all the little children, all those, oh my God, all those poor little aborted babies, they're in glory. They're in glory. And all those little children, before they can make that decision, they belong to Jesus. What did Jesus say? He took them in His arms and He blessed them, didn't baptize them. He blessed them. And He said, for of such is the kingdom of God. They are My kingdom. But when we come to the age when we can make a decision, then we have to decide for Jesus Christ or the devil. And if you don't take Jesus, you're taking the devil. That's all there is to it. And so this wonderful Jesus then, we become His people. We were once enemies. We were rebels. And yet this wonderful Jesus made it possible for us to become His child because of His saving work on the cross. And it started way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had that perfect relationship with God. And weren't they happy until they sinned? And what was their sin? Adultery or murder, or gambling, drinking, drunkenness, what? Disobedience. They disobeyed God. So if we disobey God, that's the cardinal sin. That's the sin that Adam and Eve committed. And so God has to put them out of the garden because He cannot have sin. But what does He do? He slays an animal with a shedding of blood, and He clothes them with that skin, and He sends them out into the world. And that's where they live. But He lives with them. We are His people. We are His people because we're redeemed. And the Old Testament people, all of their sins were covered with the blood of bulls and goats, but they never were taken away. And then when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for all the sins of the Old Testament, all the sins of the New Testament, and all the sins as long as we live. When I accept Jesus, I hadn't committed any of my sins when Jesus died. They were all in the future. And so when He saved me, 10 years old, He paid my way all the way to glory, all the way to heaven. That's why I have assurance in that wonderful God. And so this Lord Jesus Christ, He knows exactly what we're doing, and He loves us and He cares for us. And even in our sins and the things that we do that are not right, He cares for us and He loves us. And when we turn and come back, and I'm praying today, there'll be some of you, and you used to walk with the Lord, and now you drifted away from the Lord, and He isn't in your life anymore, and you're living in sin. And I know what you're saying because I've been preaching 72 years. Would you believe it? Somebody told me the other day, after 72 years, I'd think you should be able to do a little better than you're doing. I said, you ought to have heard me when I started. I've done pretty well. I chased more people away than I got in for a long time in that church. But God is, He's so good. And I can tell you, over those years, I'll tell you what people say. They say the one sin they don't think God will forgive is when they sin against light. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. I hear that over and over. But I don't care what you've done. If you've drifted away from the Lord, you just come and confess that sin. Now your sins of your soul and salvation is paid, but your sins are separating you from God, the fellowship with God. And so you confess your sins to the Lord Jesus. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then we have that fellowship that with Jesus Christ. And you could come today and, oh, that's wonderful, Lord. But the main thing is, be sure you've accepted Him into your life. And then the psalmist says, be thankful because God cares for us. We are the sheep of His pasture. If Jesus Christ is our shepherd, then we are His sheep, the sheep of His pasture, the sheep of His flock. And just remember that 23rd Psalm. Think of that beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. And why don't I fear any evil? Because Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what the good shepherd does with his sheep. And he leads us, and he loves us, and he cares for us. And when we stray away, he chastens us. And what is we told in the book of Hebrews? He chastens every son that he receives, every daughter that he receives. He chastens us to make us more like Jesus. See, he doesn't do it just for a sport, but he's bringing us closer to Jesus, be more like Jesus. And I know that's what I want, and I know that's what you want. And we won't be perfect till we get to glory. So don't worry if you make a stumble. When you stumble, ask Jesus to forgive you and get up and get going and carry on, but never give up. So be thankful. We're the sheep of his pasture, the good shepherd. Oh, dear God, what a dear shepherd he is. Died for us. Loved us so much he died for us. Raised again the third day. Don't forget that. Coming again, too, one of these days. Then the psalmist goes on. He says, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And Paul talks about his goodness in Romans 8:32. He says, He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? We ought to think about the goodness of God. How good that he is. We don't deserve anything. Nothing. Because we're all sinners in one way or another. And they talk about big sins and little sins and lies and little white lies. Little white lies are just as black as the old black ones. We've all sinned. And what does God say? There's not a righteous man upon earth who sinneth not. Or all sinners except Jesus. Pure, beautiful, pure Jesus. And he took our sins, put them in his body. That's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane. It wasn't because he was scared of the cross. He was, we're told in Hebrews, who for the joy that was set for him endured the cross. Jesus rejoiced that he could go to the cross. He wasn't sweating drops of blood because of the cross. He was sweating drops of blood because he was taking the sins of the world into that pure, pure body of his. Oh, my God, how he suffered. He is so good. He is so good. And remember the words of our Lord, Matthew 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask him? So every good gift, James says, every good gift that we have, you never got anything good from the devil, and you never will, because all the devil does is just cause grief and sorrow. But if there's anything good in your life or in this world, it came from God, not the devil. Then it goes on and says in verse 5, his mercy is everlasting. God doesn't give up, but doesn't give us what we deserve. We ought to marvel at the mercy of God. And God saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy, Titus 3, verse 5. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy is everlasting, except there's an exception. When you die, that mercy is no more available. There's no more grace. There's no more salvation. There's no more mercy. There's eternity before you. And if we die in our sins, we're going to go to hell where the devil is and where sin is going to go. And so his mercy is everlasting. It is to the Christian, it is everlasting. To the unsaved, it has its parameters. And you have to come to Jesus now, as Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, right now, today is the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. This wonderful, wonderful Savior. And then he goes on and he tells us, be thankful because his truth endureth to all generations. His truth, this wonderful word of God, that's what it is. He's talking about the word endure means that it's firm, it's secure, it's established. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. And that wonderful word will always be there and you can always count on it. And God cannot break his word. God cannot go against his word. Once he has declared it, it can never fail. So those are some things to be thankful for. Now, how can we show our thanks? Well, let's just look at it for a minute, says. We can show our thanks by making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if you sing the way I do, it doesn't sound very joyful. But it comes from the heart. And God knows in my heart that I'm not a good singer. And two things I always tell people. I never sang a solo, and I never was in a beauty contest. But when I get to heaven, I'll be a beautiful, and I'll sing like an angel. See, but now sing the best you can. The Lord is looking at our hearts. We should give thanks serving the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. And when you give your gifts, don't be such a tightwad and don't hang on to it. And that's why we have Jan always plays for us. So when you give, well, kind of take a little pain away. Why we should be instead of that, we should be thankful that we can give. And we should give it with joyful hearts, serving the Lord and honoring the Lord. And just so thankful that we have something we can give. And of all things to give, give yourself. That's what he wants. He wants us more than he wants our money or our talents or our time or anything else. He wants us. And then the rest will fall into place. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things have come in place. They'll be added to you. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord means to work as a slave. That's what Paul used to say. He's a slave for Jesus Christ, and he's glad to do it. And so he gives himself, and he gives it joyful and happiness. And like Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we rejoice in the Lord, there's strength in that. And oh, what a joy it is to serve Jesus. And everybody can do it. You say, well, I've never been to seminary. I don't know much of the Bible. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you what you can do. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, that's all you need. Because you can tell others. Maybe you don't know any about the Old Testament. No, maybe you're like one poor guy and he says, but he didn't. He heard a father heard about Bath and Beersheba, from Bath to Beersheba. And he says, I always thought there was husband and wife like Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't know any more about the Old Testament than nothing. But if you accept Jesus, you know Jesus. And you can talk about Jesus. And they can't take you that away from you because you've experienced and he lives in your heart. Serve the Lord. We can all serve the Lord. And then he says, come before his presence with singing. And that again is this joyful noise unto the Lord, giving praise to the Lord. He tells us, show our thanks by recognizing God. That is in the third verse. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Acknowledge him as God and give his place as God. And be sure that from our heart we worship Jesus and love the Lord. Because just to say it and not mean it, God could got a parrot to do that for him. And I read about one fellow, and he was so lonely that on his computer, he opened it up every time he got it, came on and says, I love you. That computer says, I love you. Well, big deal. What is that? Now, if God would have made us as robots and we say, I love God, I love God, I serve God, what value would be there? No, he gave us a free will. And if you want to, you can do like some people do, and you can curse God. You can take his name in vain, and you can live like a dog and live a horrible life. You can live that way if you want to, because God made us so we could do as I want. I can make my own choices. And that's why we beg people to open their heart to Jesus Christ, because you have to do it. God could say, all right, I'm going to make you accept Jesus. You got to, you have to, you have to. No, he just says, the door, I'm knocking at your door. If you don't open that door, I can't come in. I won't come in. I can't come in because I made it so that you make the choice. I choose Jesus. I choose the devil. You're going to take one or the other. He says, no, I'm neutral. No, you're not. No, you're not. He that's not with me is against me. And so that's what we do for the Lord. And then he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. and give him that rightful place then. And Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then we walk with the Lord, and we serve him as God. We acknowledge him as God, and we get to know him better all the time. And the longer you know him, the more you'll love him. When I find somebody that says they don't love Jesus, I know right off the bat, he doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know Jesus. Because to know him is to love him. And he becomes more precious and more real and more beautiful. He is so beautiful. And that comes day by day as we walk with Jesus. Oh, it's glorious. And then it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thank him that you're alive. Thank him you can breathe. Thank you you have a heart beat. But thank him for the things spiritual. Thank him from redemption from sin. Thank him from reconciliation to God. Thank him that you're adopted into God's family. Thank you that you're released from condemnation. Thank you that your citizenship is in heaven. Thank him for every spiritual blessings, because those blessings will never, ever end. And then he says, enter into his courts with praise. And that wonderful thing is just to praise God, this wonderful God, this wonderful God who is always existing. He's always controlling. He's always there. And people say, oh, the days are evil. The days are hard. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. I've been in the work for 70 years, over that, 72. And I know it's a lot harder now than it ever was. And a lot more wicked. And television has been a great part of it. But the whole society is falling apart. And so we wonder, what are we going to do? No, don't do that. Just say, God, how are you going to handle this? He's there. He knows all about it. And then it says, bless his name. Bless his name. And that's what we want to do. We want to bless Jesus. And when others see that we're happy in Jesus, when others see that we love Jesus, when others see that there is really, he makes a difference in here, oh, then why, then we can win people to Christ. And they'll say, oh, I know that you have something I don't have. You have a peace. You have a joy. You have a contentment. You have an assurance. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. And I know you do know. And I want what you have, see. And the end result is bring people to Jesus. So I have to close by asking, do you personally know Jesus Christ? This whole psalm talks about this wonderful Savior, and he is real, and it is real. And it isn't just pie in the sky, and it isn't something we're talking about. It changes lives and attitudes and goals and dreams and lifestyle. Your new creation in Christ. And how do you get that? You have to go to Jesus. And in your own words, just say, don't get fancy. Just don't thee and thou, don't worry about that. Just talk to him and say, dear Jesus, I sinned against you. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. I sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And dear Jesus, I'll serve you the best I can. I'll love you and follow you the best I can. And then you thank him and say, thank you, Jesus. And then you tell somebody. And some of you men sitting at home, maybe you prayed that prayer. Tell your wife. She's been praying for you for 30 years or 40 years, and you sit there like a bump on the log and you don't say anything. Tell her, I accept Jesus. She'll cook you the best meal you had for a long time. So if you've accepted Jesus, you write to us, who will send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want the new song, you put that down. And if you want to send us a gift, and I hope you do, because we got a lot of bills to pay, and we can't preach this thing, and we can't sing the message unless you pay the way. Somebody's got to pay it. And so you need to say, yes, I want to have a part in this. Our only income is from God's people. And you might say, oh, well, I don't know what he'll do with the money. Maybe he'll buy a fancy car. Maybe I'm 95 years old. I might get a convertible sports car. Can you believe it? I wouldn't get near one of those things. But you know what? We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check every penny we get, and they check how we spend it. And they audit our books, and we're as clean as a hound's tooth. And you don't need to worry when you send money to the Christian Worship Hour. You're going to all go, there it is, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. Now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people who tuned in. And we just pray that everyone will have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And yet, God, we know in our heart there's some that are on beds of sickness. There's some can't get out of bed, can't get out of the wheelchair. Some are alone, some are lonely. But you know that, Lord, and you know who they are. And we pray that you especially be close to them. Put your arms around them and help them to know that the eternal God is their refuge and that you'll help them as long as they live. And then when they come to the end, they won't be alone. You'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll take them home personally. Bless us all. Thank you, dear Jesus. In the Savior's name we pray, amen. So we want to thank all of you for being with us. Thank you for telling others. Thank you for giving. Thank you for praying. We need God's prayers and God's help more than anybody. So just pray for us. And pray that we have three things in mind as a Christian Worship Hour: to honor God, to glorify God, to save the lost, and to comfort God's people. That's our goal. Pray that we meet it. And so we hope you'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Next week, we'll check with you and we'll see how we all got through. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.